Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey people, I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Well, as of today, which as I'm recording this is August the 8th, and it is 1:30 p.m. Central Time, just so you know, because that will matter as we release this podcast on August the 9th of 2024 in the morning. We're going to talk about Israel and Hamas again. We haven't talked about this for about 100 days, and there's been some developments that I want to share with you, kind of update you on some things, help you understand again what's going on, because the Middle East can be so confusing, and talk about potential for peace that, we always pray is around the corner. Of course, there's also potential for increased war around the corner as well, but we pray for peace. So, with that, I want to update you on some things that have happened over the last few weeks there in the Middle East, in Israel, with regard to the war between Israel and Hamas. We'll talk later in the podcast, we'll put on the screen for those on YouTube, about how to find my other podcasts about Israel and Hamas, because periodically since October the 7th, I've done various updates on with some very specific topics on some of them with regard to Israel and Hamas, and you might want to go check those out on our YouTube channel. So I'll put that up at the end of the podcast. All right, so here we go. Let's start with what has happened recently as we have been checking out the Middle East. So about a few weeks ago or so, there was a rocket that came from Hezbollah. We'll talk about what Hezbollah is, from Lebanon, which is where Hezbollah is located, into the Golan Heights. And the map on the screen, as with most maps, if you're watching on YouTube, the Golan Heights are talked about as being annexed by Israel, or talked about as being occupied by Israel. But the reality is they are now, at least according to the United States government, recognized as a part of Israel. Nevertheless, there was a Druze village, the northern part of the Golan Heights, right by Lebanon, and a rocket came from Lebanon into this Druze village. A bunch of kids were playing soccer there, and exploded right near the bomb shelter. And so the kids were all running for the bomb shelter, and the rocket exploded right outside the bomb shelter and just killed 12 kids, I think it was, and injured many, many more. And this was just a horrific event that happened. Whether Hezbollah was targeting those kids or not cannot be determined. I have my doubts. I don't think they were, but you never know, particularly because they were Druze. And Druze are not Jews. That's different. Druze, D-R-U-Z-E, Druze. And so Druze are a religious sect that live in Lebanon, Syria, and Israel. And they're a very interesting group of people. About 1 million of them, I think, or so. About 100,000 maybe live in Israel, something like that. And they are loyal to whatever the government of whatever nation they live in. And so the Druze, again, I'm not talking about Jews with a J, we're talking about Druze. The Druze are very loyal to the Israeli government. And so they may have been being targeted by Hezbollah, we don't know. But nevertheless, those 12 kids were killed and many others injured. If you want to find out more about this really interesting, kind of bizarre in some ways, religious sect, I would encourage you to go to PragerU.com, P-R-A-G-E-R-U, the letter U, P-R-A-G-E-R-U.com, PragerU.com, and search for Druze Lives Matter. And it's about an hour podcast or so, an interview with two Druze who currently live in the United States. And they give some insight into what it is to be Druze and what the beliefs are of that faith, although most of those beliefs are secret. And so even they, as members of that faith, don't know all the beliefs. It's kind of interesting. When we go to Israel, we always eat at a Druze restaurant right near Mount Carmel, which is on the Mediterranean. So we eat at the Drew's restaurant, great food there. So anyway, if you want to find out more about Drew's, there you go. So with that rocket attack that killed those 12 kids, Israel believed they had to respond. The question is how to respond. And so what they did was they took out one of the top members of Hezbollah in Lebanon. And his name is Fuad Shukr. And he was in Beirut, which is far from the border of Israel. Maybe he thought he was safe there, who knows? But I don't know that anybody's safe from the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, and from the Mossad. So they took him out, and he is was considered by many to be second in command of all of Hezbollah. That was a big hit that Israel did. And then within, I think, probably about 24 hours or so, if I remember correctly, another prominent member, this time not of Hezbollah, and we'll go over these groups in a minute so you can understand them, but another prominent member, this time of Hamas. In fact, not only a prominent member, the leader of Hamas, Ismail Haniyeh, was taken out in Tehran, right in the heart of Tehran. He was in Tehran there for the installation of Iran's new president, who has really no power per se, but he's their president, so he can maybe influence things, I suppose, a little bit. But anyway, this guy, Ismail Haniyeh, was taken out, and wow, that was a splash, even a bigger splash than Fuad Shukr. Israel never claimed to have taken out Haniyeh. They did claim to take out Shukr, but they did not claim to take out Haniyeh. And I'll have to say, we'll see how this pans out. My first reaction, as I heard the news about Haniyeh, the leader of Hamas being taken out, my first reaction was, did Israel do this? Or did Iran do it? Or who did it? The world started condemning Israel right away or saying that Israel did it. Israel never took responsibility, which is not surprising. But the curious thing I found curious was that Iran did not immediately point the finger at Israel. It took them, if I remember, about 12 hours or so before they started pointing the finger at Israel along with the rest of the world. I thought that was curious. I also thought it was curious of how Israel could have done this. Now, Mossad, they've done a lot of incredible things over the years, but this seemed to be really an amazing thing to do right in downtown Tehran, and to only kill two people, one of them being Haniyeh. So it wasn't a major, like, you know, a whole missile that took out a whole city block or something. Just curious to me that Iran took so long to respond that there was some confusion, still is today, about exactly how it was done. That's usually not the case. Usually pretty quickly it comes out how these things were accomplished and that sort of thing. So why would Israel take out this person when they were so close to potentially getting a temporary ceasefire, at least to get out some hostages? And this was the guy they were negotiating with. Curious. Why would Iran take him out? Potentially he was doing things that Iran did not want done. I don't know. I'm not saying Iran did it. I'm not saying Israel did it. It's just curious. Iran, so far, as I record this, that's why I said the timing is crucial. It's August the 8th at 1:30 p.m. Central Time. So far, it seems that Iran has not responded to this, and it's been about a week or so. So, interesting developments. We'll see where it all goes. All right, let's talk about these different groups in the Middle East and who they are, because it gets kind of confusing. And then we'll look at some maps, all right? So first of all, in Gaza, on the Mediterranean coast, there is Hamas. Well, let's back up. Iran. So this is what you need to know about Iran. It is, there's two major groups in Islam, Shia and Sunni. They do not get along. The Shia is a much smaller segment of Islam. So the majority of Muslims are Sunni. Iran is majority Shiite by a long shot. They are a Shiite country. Shiite and Shia, same thing for our purposes. So Iran is majority Shiite. So they, you would think, get along with just the Shia. And the rest of the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, other countries like that, are majority Sunni. They do not get along with Iran. However, we'll see here, these various proxies of Iran, many of them are Sunni. That's surprising on the surface until you realize the old saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So if the enemy is Israel, the enemy of Israel is my friend, even though they're my enemy, if you kind of get that. So who are the proxies of Iran that Iran uses and funds to attack Israel and the West? First of all, Hamas. We've heard of Hamas in the news now a lot. They are Sunni, not normally allied with Iran. Hania, who was taken out in Tehran, was a Sunni. Iran is Shia. Did some Iranian Revolutionary Guards take him out? I don't know. We don't know. Not saying it happened. I'm saying we don't know. Hezbollah, which has been in the news a lot. Hezbollah is in Lebanon. We'll look at the map in a minute. Hezbollah is naturally allied with Iran. They are Shia. So that's a natural alliance with Iran, as well as the Houthis in Yemen. So Yemen, we'll see the country in a minute on the map, but Yemen is 65% Sunni, but the Houthis are Shia, and the Houthis have taken over the country with Iran's backing. So that's been an ongoing civil war for a long time. Saudi Arabia kind of on one side with the Sunnis, and Iran on the other side with the Shia. And so the Shia, the Houthis in Yemen, have also gotten involved in terms of interrupting shipping in the world's sea lanes right around there, but also have gotten involved in sending missiles and various drones into Israel. In fact, they had a drone hit Israel a couple of weeks ago and killed a guy in Tel Aviv, which was very, very rare. Tel Aviv is normally a very, very safe city, as is Jerusalem. All right. Syria is majority Sunni, so again, not naturally aligned with Iran. Palestinian Islamic Jihad, kind of, they live all over the place. They live in the West Bank, Lebanon, Gaza, all over. They are Sunni, and most West Bank Arabs are Sunni. So if you get the picture, the only natural alliance with Iran, Shia, is Hezbollah Shia in Lebanon, is the point of all this. The others are not naturally allied, but are, well, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and so they're allied that way, but they're not naturally allied. All right. Let's take a look at a map, and I'll try to describe this for those of you listening, only listening on audio. We'll try to have this description here. So what I have here is a map of the Middle East, and what you'll notice, particularly about this map, is Iran is not next to Israel. It is not; they don't have a contiguous border with Israel. To get from Iran to Israel, you have to go over Iraq. The fastest way is to go over Iraq, which is a fairly large country, to go through the country of Jordan or Syria, but Jordan primarily, and then get into Israel. And so the last time Iran sent 300 missiles or so into Israel directly from Iran itself, and drones and rockets and things, they had to travel across Iraq and across Jordan. Some went across Saudi Arabia as well, because they were shooting for the south of Israel. So they're crossing all these other countries. And so these other countries don't want their airspace invaded. And so they assisted in shooting down many of these missiles and drones and such. All right. So that's what I wanted to point out about this particular map. Let's go to a map that zooms in a little bit to the situation. And we'll notice here the nation of Israel on this map. And what I want to point out then is where these different groups are that are allied against Israel with Iran or Iranian proxies. First of all, the Gaza Strip is a small little strip. Really, it's very, very small. I think the square miles, it's about 1.5 times the size of Lincoln, Nebraska. So very, very small area we're talking about for all this war to be happening. The Gaza Strip, Hamas has been ruling the Gaza Strip since 2007, unopposed, no elections. Once they won, they stopped having elections. They've been ruling there. There's been no Jews, living or dead, in the Gaza Strip ever since that time, 2007. 2006, I think, was the last Jews left. So there is a Palestinian state, if you will, if you'll call it that, in Israel, in the Middle East, and that's the Gaza Strip. It's been completely ruled by Hamas. No Jews, living or dead. Literally, they actually emptied up the graves and took the Jewish bodies back into Israel. No Jews there in the Gaza Strip for all those years. So that's Hamas, and they are Sunni. Then if you swing around to Jordan, Jordan is allied with Israel, so to speak, the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan. They are, however, there are, I don't know the number, but millions of Palestinians that live in Jordan. So the King of Jordan needs to be very careful how he plays his peace treaty with Israel while at the same time having all these Palestinians that live in his country. It's a challenge. As we said before, Jordan participated in shooting down some of those rockets and missiles that came from Iran a month or so ago because they were coming over Jordanian territory. So that's how the king explained that he was shooting down these rockets, is that not that he was allied with Israel, but that he didn't want these rockets coming over his territory. You have the West Bank, and the West Bank, the Palestinian Authority officially rules the West Bank. That's a very complicated situation. We could talk about that some other time. But again, Sunni Muslims there, the Arabs that live there. Syria to the northwest, Sunni primarily, although lots of civil war going on there. It's almost a failed state. It's not quite there, but it's pretty messed up, pretty bad. And then Lebanon to the north of Israel. Lebanon is where Hezbollah is located. Lebanon is, it has a government, but the government is sort of in control and sort of not in control because Iran has put these Hezbollah proxies in there. And Hezbollah has the military power, and the Lebanese have the political power. Well, if you have the military power, you kind of have the power. So that's, and Hezbollah is in Lebanon there. Let me go into a little bit closer map. Right now, what's happening in Israel in terms of fighting is very little. Look at pictures of Israel today. As I speak, well, it's getting to be nighttime, but let's say today in Israel, which would be Thursday in Israel, go to Tel Aviv, the beaches are full. People are out on the beach. They're going about their daily lives. They've stockpiled some water in the basement, but they are going about their daily lives. The Israeli Defense Force has not given any restrictions, not told anybody, made any civilian changes. And so people are just living their lives. Even right along the Gaza Strip, very, very safe in southern Israel, Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, all that kind of stuff, all the way really through the north, with the exception of the border of Lebanon. So I want to go to the next slide, which will zoom us in on the border between Israel and Lebanon. That's where the action is. I mean, the action's in Gaza, but Gaza's not part of Israel. Gaza's Gaza. There's action there. It's not safe. I wouldn't go to Gaza. But outside of Gaza, in Israel proper, things are really, life is going on normally, as much as you can, knowing that there's a war next door. However, up north, Hezbollah in Lebanon, right on the border of northern Israel. And so what in 2006, at the end of that Lebanese conflict, the Lebanese war between Israel and Hezbollah, the United Nations, and part of the agreement to end the war in 2006, the UN resolution was that Hezbollah must withdraw their military forces, their guns, their, you know, whatever they got, shooting rockets, north of the Litani River. And I have that drawn out on the map if you're looking online. If you're not, it's a little ways into Lebanon, but not very far. But they must withdraw north of the Litani River to give Israel some comfort that they were not going to be overrun like they were overrun by Hamas on October 7th. So this has been since 2006. Hezbollah never withdrew. They've always been up against the border of Israel in the north. They've never followed through on that UN resolution. Hezbollah is not a country anyway, so they're not obligated, I suppose. What Israel wants is for Hezbollah to withdraw beyond the Litani River, north of the Litani River, so that the people, 100 up to 100,000, 80,000 or so, Jews and others living along that border have been displaced. They're refugees in their own country. They want, and that's where the yellow is on the map. They want to move those people back into their homes to be able to live at peace in their homes. And they can't live there at peace with Hezbollah right across the border, staring them down, ready to have another October 7th in the north. Seems like a reasonable request. Not a request, it's a resolution of the United Nations. And yet, so far, it hasn't happened. Israel is saying that it will happen one way or the other. Either we will force them back across the Litani River, or they will go peacefully. So far, it has not happened. Where things stand is that where things stand is that Hezbollah has said on October 8th, we're going to start firing missiles into northern Israel in support of Hamas in Gaza. And if there's no peace treaty, if there's no cessation of hostilities, in the Gaza Strip, there will be no cessation of hostilities in the north. The problem is that it is extremely difficult to get a ceasefire agreement in Gaza. Why is that? Because they are holding over 100 hostages from all different nations, but primarily Israeli hostages, but others as well, including U.S. hostages. They're holding them in the Gaza Strip. If there's a ceasefire and they let those hostages go, then essentially Israel has free rein to destroy Hamas. Hamas, therefore, will not let those hostages go. Israel can't destroy Hamas because to do so, they would be killing their own people who are held hostage. And so you're at this standstill where Israel is continually battling Hamas, degrading Hamas, but not able to destroy Hamas. As long as Israel's battling Hamas, Hezbollah in the north will not stop. And so you're at this catch-22. How do we stop this? It's one of the reasons that some people say Israel went after Hania over in Tehran. At some point, either Israel or Iran and its proxies have to back down. One or the other has to back down from this confrontation. How do you get somebody to back down? Well, you punch them in the nose hard enough that they turn around and walk and go home. Was that Israel trying to punch Hamas in the nose hard enough that they would finally come to the table and negotiate a ceasefire agreement? Don't know. So far, that hasn't worked that way. Everybody's just kind of waiting to see what will happen next in the Middle East. So there you have that. All right. Let's see. What do I want to do here? I want to tell you how to listen to my previous podcast on the Israel-Hamas war. If you go to my Eagles on the Hill YouTube channel, just type in Eagles on the Hill. That's different, separate words. Eagles on the Hill, four words. Find the YouTube channel, and there are playlists there. You can look through them all if you like, but there's an Israel-Hamas War 2023-2024 playlist. And if you go to that playlist, particularly, I would encourage you to listen to the February 6, 2024 podcast called Israel and the Palestinians, the Two-State Solution. And what I do there is explain why the two-state solution will not work. So that's the solution that's being proposed by the rest of the world. But guess what? The Palestinians don't want it, and Israel doesn't want it. Well, if those two parties don't want it, it's not going to happen. And I explain there why. So it might be an interesting podcast for you to listen to if you don't recall what I was saying at that time. Where we're at now is a standstill. We need to be praying for the return of those hostages. Let my people go, was what God said to Pharaoh. And we need to pray that those people are let go by Hamas. We need to pray for a cessation of hostilities that happens coincidentally with the hostages' release and with people in every nation being able to live in safety. And that would mean particularly people in Israel being able to live in safety, because they are the ones who are unable to live in safety as long as Hamas, Hezbollah, and primarily Iran is shouting death to Israel, death to America. I don't know how this is all going to turn out. Somebody at some point is going to have to lose, and somebody at some point is going to have to win. And I would pray that the right, the truth, the justice, the side of truth, the side of justice, the side that desires to live at peace with the other side would be the victor. And I hope that you pray the same thing as well. We pray that it ends soon and that life is able to get back to normal for the people of Israel, for the people of Gaza, for the people of Lebanon, and all the surrounding area as well. That's what we got for you today on the show. We hope that it's been instructive to you, helpful to you to understand what's going on there. You can write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. That's all one word, no spaces, dots, dashes, underscores. Let us know what you thought, what you learned about this podcast today. I encourage you to hope in the Lord, because we know that those who hope in the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. Thanks for listening to the podcast today.